You're listening to an LA Kings podcast. For more episodes of this and every other Kings program, visit lakings.com/podcast.
Hands it off for Anderson with room in front for Tynan. Score! T.J. Tynan on the power play!
It's been a while, but the rain check is back. Jared Schaffrin, Josh Schaefer, we apologize for the delay in an episode, but man, schedule's been crazy.
We're here. We're still here. If you've been tuning into the broadcast or coming out to games, you know we're still here.
Yeah.
But the podcast does, in fact, still exist.
Yeah, and we would like to be more regular with our episodes. We apologize that it's been a little while, but there's just been a lot going on. The team's playing pretty well. They had a good month of January, and the team's captain, you know, we had been talking for a while. We got to get TJ on. And he was named the AHL Player of the Month earlier this week. And he is going to Quebec for the AHL All-Star event that is in Laval. So we thought no better time than to sneak in an episode here with the captain, TJ Tynan.
Yeah. And at the time of recording, he was named Player of the Month 24 hours ago. After 25 points in 13 games or 14 games in the month of January, which is the highest point total for any AHL player in 6 years in a single month. And he started the month, somewhere around 25th in the league in scoring.
I think 25th in scoring.
And now he's second, and he leads the league in assists over a player that we're familiar with that, Tynes and the two of us will talk about a little bit later.
It's just, you know, when you look at the month as a whole, there were some really good individual performances. Elias Anderson had a great month. Martin Kromiak was tied for the most points of any rookie skater in the AHL. But, just thinking about how many good players have played in this league and, you know, how good that TJ's been himself. And to think that this is the first time he's won it, and to think that no one has, since 2016, scored this many points in a month. It's incredible.
Yeah, and he's the reigning back-to-back league MVP, for Pete's sake. Like, I mean, this is something that I feel like we've grown accustomed to. And you know what? You and I were talking, I want to say about a week ago, about kind of where he was at in this stretch in January. And it's like, wow, yeah, he's had a lot of points this month. But then you put into context, whoa, he's like on pace for the exact same season he had a year ago. And whoa, he has jumped up 15 spots, I think, at the time in the league scoring. And whoa, he's suddenly second in assists, which he's now passed. He's now second in the league in points. And it's one of those things where you don't even realize how good it is at the moment because TJ Tynan is always that good. And we talk about this a little bit later in our chat with TJ, but it's something that's funny is when the captain, when Tynan's rolling, everybody else around him is rolling. Whoever you put on that top line with him and Elias Anderson tends to start racking up points. And if they've been struggling, they get their game back. They take it to a different line and then that line starts rolling. But also you look at what the team's doing, and in these last 12 games for the Reign, they're 8-3-1. And that one overtime loss was against the leading team in the division in Coachella Valley. So once a guy like Tynan really gets going, everyone else around him starts going and the team starts going. And it probably could not have happened at a better time, at least in my opinion, because you lose three everyday players in Alex Turcotte, Samuel Fagimo, and Tobias Bjornfoot to the Kings when they go on this long road trip to the East Coast. So the fact that this streak is going at that time and the team starts to go a little bit more too when you lose three of your top guys, that's huge for Tynan and the rest of the team.
A lot of injuries too for this team. So as you mentioned, kind of nice to see that they're playing well and hopefully some of these guys can get back. I know Nate Thompson has been skating. Nikita Pavlichev is skating. A couple of other guys, Tyrell Goulburn, Cameron Gaunce, Austin Wagner, those guys are all out. So be good to get those guys back. The Reign play this weekend against Tucson. And also, before we get to this interview with TJ, just a quick PSA is that we will be on the road for two games. So if you're a diehard Schaefer and Schaff broadcast and you love when we're on the road, we are going to be on the road after the All-Star break. The Reign are going to be in Bakersfield and Henderson for a pair of games, and we will have broadcasts on the Reign Broadcast Network for those. We will also remind you on social media. So stay tuned for that, but excited to do some more games this month. Of course, plenty of home games, and We're going to get you right over to that interview with TJ Tynan. We are so glad to have him on the podcast, and we wish him luck this week. Today on the Rain Check, we are excited to have the Rain captain, TJ Tynan, joining us. TJ, how's it going?
I'm good. How are you guys?
Great. Thanks for taking a few minutes with us today.
Yeah, of course.
We figured we'd start it off with a little bit of fun before we get into some more hockey stuff, but this is still hockey stuff. So we're going to play, kind of our version of a more popular game that we can't say the name of. But this is Love, Hate, Keep. So we are going to start it all off. We've got three of our specialty jerseys from this season, and we know that our specialty jerseys all go to great causes. We love all of them as far as where the money goes. But hey, we talk about it a lot of times. Sometimes the designs are better than others. We've got a lot of different people contributing and different hands in the design. So we figured we'd see which one you like. So we're gonna give you three jerseys, and you got to tell us which one you love, hate, and keep.
All right, let's do it.
All right, so the first one is our, and I have a laptop here with pictures that you can't see.
But yeah,
our first one is Hockey Fights Cancer.
Okay.
This year, the Hockey Fights Cancer jersey that we wore. The second one is our First Responders Night jersey that is the most recent specialty. And I was thinking about putting pink in the ring because we got this coming up, but
yeah.
We don't actually have a good enough picture. TJ hasn't worn it yet. So instead, we're going with the Dia de Muertos jersey that wore earlier on in the season.
Okay.
So to recap, we got the Dia de Muertos. We've got the First Responders Night, fireman themed, and then the Hockey Fights Cancer.
That's tough because, like you said, it's all great cause and everything. I think I'm going to What is it? Love, hate, and keep?
Love, hate, keep.
Okay. I'll keep the Hockey Fights Cancer jersey. The only reason that, over the First Responders jersey, because we lost in that one.
Yeah. I had knew it. When I was picking these jerseys.
That was a tough loss against Coachella. So, and then I don't want to say the word hate because those are nice, but they just look kind of like our normal jerseys a little bit.
They're white.
The white ones. Yeah. And that's the only reason why, but they're all great jerseys, I think.
Nice.
Fair.
Yeah.
I had a feeling he'd go that way too. Apparently before the two of us got here, I guess before the three of us got here, apparently there was this stigma that the team didn't fare very well in specialty jerseys. And I feel last couple of years we've actually done really well in specialty jerseys.
Yeah. So. I think, for sure.
Definitely does not dictate the outcome of the game.
No, of course not.
It makes it look different.
Of course not.
It definitely shouldn't. Yeah.
The highlights look good, though.
Yeah.
So. Yeah.
Okay.
For sure. All right. Well, that was good to know. I mean, Hockey Fights Cancer, I think those are pretty classic. And they had the dragon on the front this year. So I think that sounds like TJ is in the corner of the dragon.
Yeah, I guess so.
most recent news that we heard yesterday is that you were named the AHL Player of the Month. To me, it was crazy that, you've been in this league for a long time. You've had, a couple different accolades over the years, but never player of the month. I mean, that's kind of funny. And almost to me, then when thinking about it more, shows how tough it is to win one of those things. I mean, there's so many good players in this league. There's 32 teams in the league now. So, you find out you're named player of the month. What does that mean?
Yeah, no, it's awesome. I mean, obviously, that means we're scoring more goals as a forward, so that's big. Yeah, it's obviously a great accomplishment and an honor, but I think that just means we've been scoring goals and we've been playing a lot better lately. We've had ups and downs this year, so I think a lot of guys had some good months there, so which means our team's doing well, and that's the most important thing. So yeah, it's definitely an honor.
I hope this isn't a bad question because it's something that I think that the two of us and more people covering the games or fans might pay attention to more than you guys. But you and Elias Anderson this last, couple of weeks really getting on a roll. Do you guys kind of feel like something's going, or is it just something that you don't even realize while it's happening, the run and the streak that you guys might be on together?
I think that we're both really competitive guys and we want to be the best players on the ice every night. And we try to be that. Obviously it's been clicking lately. I mean, playing with each other more and more, I think you get to know each other's tendencies more and more, which obviously will always help. But yeah, I mean, Elias is obviously incredible. So, I mean, I'm just trying to get him the puck any way I can and get him in spaces where I know he can get that shot off or get him around the net where he's, you know, extremely talented. So for us, I think it's just playing the right way, helping our team win. And obviously when you play the right way, you're going to get the puck more and, you know, have more opportunities. So I think this month just kind of clicked a little bit more and more. I think we have room to grow as, you know, as players and as a team. So hopefully it just keeps getting better.
You've had an addition to the power play unit, you know, just as injuries, call-ups happen, things change. And Martin Kromiak has been doing really well with you guys. All of a sudden, he also had a really good month of January. When you get an opportunity to have one of these young guys jump in, what are some of the things that you guys try to do to get them up to speed and make sure that they're ready to go when you get a power play?
Yeah, I mean for Cromie, he's been obviously amazing, right? And he's gotten better and better. That's tough being as young as he is in his first year. Obviously, he's not from here, and that's always tough and everything that goes with that. So, I mean, he's been great. I think for me, it's just trying to find where he's most comfortable and where he wants the puck, where he's not comfortable with guys I play with, like me and Spenny and Mads, and we kind of know what we like and we don't like. And it's just trying to figure that out with him and getting him in spots where he can use his talents the best visibility. And I think, sometimes we've been doing that, doing well with that. But again, that's the thing. Like, the more he gets to play with us in the power play, the more he gets to be around us, the more comfortable he'll get, the better he'll play. And we're trying to ask him what he likes and doesn't like. And, you know, he's a quiet kid, so sometimes he doesn't want to tell me and Spenny stuff. But we're like, no, that's what we want. We want you to speak up. And if you want the puck here or there, just let us know. Because for us, we want to make him, you know, the best player he can to make our power play the best it can be. So, I mean, he's been great. And as young as he is and as talented as he is, he's been fun to watch.
Is it kind of the same thing when you get a new line mate playing on the wing? Because, you know, obviously this year it's been you and Leas, and then, you know, sometimes a different line mate. And then last year it was you and Furkey, and then sometimes a different line mate. And we, you know, you notice that trend of whoever's up there, suddenly the points start rolling in and they kind of get their game going again. And so we've kind of noticed that trend. Is that something similar?
Yeah, I mean, I think that's similar for all the lines, right? You just want to know, like I said, the tendencies thing, what they're doing, what they're not doing, and where they want the puck and where they don't. So I think for me and Leas, we've played together a lot. So like you said, we're growing and we're getting better each game, I think. So that always helps. But yeah, I mean, in the AHL, you're always going to have turnover, guys getting called up, sent down, injuries. That always going to happen. So just, you know, when they do get on our line and just talking to them and playing with them and feeling it out, I think the biggest thing for that is reps. You just practice games. The more you play together, the more comfortable you'll be. Like we talked about Mads the other day, I've played with him before, so he steps in there and he kind of knows what I like and don't like and vice versa. So I think it's just reps, and the more you play with each other, the more comfortable you get.
You guys had I think it was now probably 2 or 3 weeks ago, but we noticed it when the coaches made the change, but there was a power play. You guys were in zone. The goalie made a save, so there was a stoppage, there was a face-off, and then all of a sudden, Aiden Dudas comes jumping on the ice, and it was just kind of a quick change, and then sure enough, 10 seconds later, Dudas ends up scoring. I mean, what was that like for you guys? It was, for us, we kind of noticed, oh, hey, look, here's a quick change, and we don't always notice those things, but we did, and then it ended up coming through with a goal. What was that kind of play like for you guys?
Yeah, I mean, so, like, when there's a stoppage, especially on the power, but you kind of look over to see if you're changing or not changing, because sometimes, you know, second unit's been great. So, I mean, if they want to get out there, we just want to know if we're changing or not changing. So we look back and Dudes came on the ice he's been great in that bumper spot in the middle, and you can tell how patient he is, and he's played that position before, and he's really, really good at it. So, that was a great call by Marco, I think, I'd assume, on the bench, and to get Dudes out there. And it was, I don't know if it was a gut feeling or instinct, but obviously it was a great call, and he scored right away. So I was happy for Aiden and our team. And obviously we couldn't get that win, but to get a point versus, you know, the best team in the league right now was big, especially in a fun night like that. So, it was a great call.
There was something else that I think we noticed a couple of games ago. I believe it was the game in San Diego where the top unit goes out there for two power plays, and Tyler Madden scores both power play goals within the first minute of the opportunity. But both times it was the same personnel, but you guys kind of set up differently at the start of the power play. Is that something that you guys had going in, or was it something where, you know, obviously sometimes everybody's a little bit out of position, so you kind of set it up and try to get back going? Or was that something you guys had pre-planned?
Yeah, no, it wasn't pre-planned or anything. I think it's just off the face-offs. Leas usually takes those on that side, and he got kicked out, I think, both times. So I ended up there, and usually I'd sprint over to my spot, but we decided that wasn't the smartest move. So I might as well just stay where he's at and he stays where I am at, which he's played that position where I am, you know, his whole life. Right. And I can play down low too. So I think it was just easier just to get the puck and worry about the possession of the puck over, you know, the position. So, with that, I think it just kind of happened. We set up and we didn't want to move too much and we had a good look, and it was kind of funny because Cromie in between periods, he's like, I had no idea what you guys were doing. Cause we, I needed in Mads cause we didn't tell anyone, just me and Elias were just like, just stay there. And I thought we'd eventually switch, but we ended up scoring, like you said, pretty quickly. So it happened the way it happened, which was funny, but yeah, it was good to, you know, special teams are important. So for us to get a couple goals and in on the road in San Diego, and help the team win was big.
We're recording this on a Thursday. You have a heck of a weekend coming up. You got games on Friday and Saturday against Tucson, team that's just behind us in the standings. So important games for our team. And then you got to hop on a plane, get out to Quebec, be at the AHL All-Star event, and then get back here because
yeah.
After the All-Star break is over, there's obviously more important games coming up next weekend. So how are you kind of preparing for that? And I mean, I'm sure it's probably a day at a time, but you still got to pack.
Ready. Yeah, for sure. I mean, for me, it's just worrying about these games versus Tucson first. Obviously, it's tight in the standings and they're a great team. So a back-to-back at home going into break, we want to have a good feeling going into break, and that would be two big wins for us. As far as the All-Star game goes, yeah, the travel's tough just because it's so far for these teams out west, which is unfortunate. But everything I've heard from everyone I've talked to, it's going to be an amazing event. You know, they're putting on a great show. It's set up the right way, and Biss and Freddie are all over me. They're excited for me. I don't know if they're jealous or what, but they just keep telling me how cool it's going to be, and I'm excited to go. And obviously with COVID and last year we couldn't do it, and I know that Laval was excited to have it, so I'm excited to be there, and hopefully it'll be a great time, a fun experience, and I get to see some of the guys that I haven't seen in a while, and it'll be a great time.
What's been your experience with the league's All-Star events in the past?
Yeah, I've had I'm trying to think. I've had two with Cal actually, which were really fun. I had one here, I had one in Utica, and then I had my first one in Syracuse. Yeah, they were great. I mean, skills competition one day, the All-Star game the next day, and you kind of leave. It's kind of quick, right? So you kind of are in and out, but when you get back, your staff, your coaching staff gives you plenty of rest. And obviously the game's not too taxing or anything like that, but it's a fun experience. It's good to meet a lot of the guys you haven't got to meet yet, and a lot of old faces you do know and haven't got to see in a while. So it should be fun.
I know that Laval's been planning this for a couple of years because they were supposed to host it in 2021. Didn't happen. 2022 didn't happen. Yeah. So this is like their third year that they're trying to plan it.
Yeah.
And I don't know if this is confirmed, but I've heard that they're trying to get a Ferris wheel somehow into the arena.
Into the arena?
I don't know what.
I didn't hear that.
I heard something about a Ferris wheel. So
wow.
Maybe you might have to take a ride. I don't know.
Yeah, I guess so. But yeah, but from what Biss and Freddie tell me, they're going all out for it, which is awesome. So.
You get like recommendations whenever you go to an All-Star game of where to eat, where to go.
Yeah. I mean, well, as far as this goes, Freddie's in my ear all the time. he's been trying to, you know, tell me where to go and stuff. But like I said, you're kind of in and out. You don't have like a lot of time to do a lot of stuff. You're kind of, you land, you have maybe an hour or two, and then you got to get to the rink and get ready for the skills competition. Then you have like a post game skills party, and then where you meet everyone and stuff, and then the next day is a ceremony and then a game, and then you leave. So it's tough to, you know, find a dinner spot or something to do. So you don't have much time to do it. But like I said, I heard they're going all out for it, so it should be a lot of fun.
Anyone that you are familiar with on the Pacific Division that you might try to campaign to play with in the game?
Well, Wooly will be there. Yeah. So I'm excited to see Wooly. I haven't seen him in a while, so We were pretty tight when he was here last year, and we talk from time to time. So I'm excited to see Wooly. So hopefully I can get out there with him a couple of times.
Wooly's racking up the assists this year, and now you just passed him on the league leaderboard for assists. Is there any John back and forth there?
No, John. As far as that goes,
I know he'll let you know something though, because you know he knows. That's the case.
Yeah, no, we haven't really talked about that. We're more so just excited to see each other and spend some time together, and you know, he's obviously a fun guy, so I'm excited to, you know, have some laughs and hear some jokes with him. So I'm excited to see him, and it'll be fun.
crazy too, because we've only played Abbotsford the one time. I don't even know if he was in that game. He might have been up at the time. He was up around, at some point around then, but seven more times against Abbotsford. So we'll see. We'll see. Potentially see Will Annan a lot down the stretch, I guess. Sure.
Yeah. You know, talking about some of these, you know, the all-star trips and maybe not having as much time to go out and do a bunch of different things. Well, obviously you've played in a few different places. So, in your time playing in the league, what are some of your favorite places and trips to go to, that you've had either in the playoffs or in the regular season, wherever you've been?
That's a good question. I mean, going down to Austin, Texas is always a good time. When I was with Chicago, we'd always go down for the same trip. We played Texas a couple times, and then we'd always end in San Antonio, and we'd do a Saturday night game in San Antonio, and then we wouldn't play again until Tuesday morning. We'd have a kids game, like a student game.
Yeah.
And we'd fly out after, but that Sunday we'd always do a team golf outing with the coaches and the players. So that was always something we look forward to. I've played in some cool places. Cleveland, I won there, so that was awesome. Chicago, I'm from there, so I got to see my friends and family a lot. And living in Colorado and living here are two amazing places to live, and that they're polar opposite, right? They're so different, but they're both incredible. So I've been pretty fortunate.
I know in Cleveland, you kind of mentioned, kind of jogged my memory of, I wasn't in the league at that time, but I mean, I feel like the whole hockey world was kind of paying attention to that. I mean, with the way that run went on, like, is that just something that, you know, you kind of look back at and you're like, wow, that was such a time? Because it seemed like you guys just, I don't know, hit everything the right way, and it was a crazy run.
Yeah, I mean, we had a great team. We were deep. We had a little bit of everything, and I think we ended the year, our last 20 games, we were like 16-4, so we kind of found our game. And then we had two great goalies that played incredible in the playoffs. And yeah, that was a crazy run. I mean, the record we had, 15-2 or whatever, I think it was. And, you know, sweeping three out of the four series and then ultimately winning in overtime at a sellout crowd in Cleveland at like a huge stadium. That was incredible. Sometimes you think back and you're like, was that, I don't know how we did that. Like every overtime game we were winning, and it was clutch goals, great plays from everyone. Our goalies were amazing. I think Anton Forsberg, who's the goalie in Ottawa now, I think he was 9-0. I don't think he lost a game in the playoffs, which is crazy.
Wow.
Yeah, but it was, yeah, you look back and, you know, our coaching staff was incredible. The staff in Colorado now, and it's no surprise they won the Stanley Cup last year. They're amazing. They're even better people. And we had a lot of great players, great guys, and I still keep in touch with. So yeah, it was a wild run.
And then I could be wrong on this, but I think that's when you guys were spray painting the red X's on the dashers.
Yeah, that's
right. That was like, again, it was kind of like, I'd never seen that before.
Yeah.
And I'm like, these guys are so like, this is awesome. Like every win that they have, they're spray painting the dashers.
I'd never seen it either. I don't know what was going on.
But it was
on,
cool. Yeah, I mean, it was awesome. A reminder to everybody about like, hey, this is how close. It's a physical, tangible, like we are doing this.
Yeah, and it was a lot of fun. We had some, you know, our captain, Ryan Craig, he played forever, and it was his second to last year, and he'd never won, and he finally got to win, and that was amazing. We had a lot of older guys and younger guys. We had a really good mix, so it was, yeah, I'd never seen that before either, but it was pretty cool.
You mentioned that you keep in contact with those guys.
Yep.
Forget about just going on a postseason run in general, but what does going on a run like that do for those future relationships that you're able to build and maintain?
The teams I lost in the finals 1 year too with Chicago, and I still keep in touch with those guys a bunch too. And I think it's just those series, you know, obviously the hockey ramps up and the importance of the games ramps up, and just, you know, winning a series and celebrating with each other and then, you know, ultimately getting the finals. It's different. That's what you play for, right? You play to win the game, and you want to be the team that wins that last game of the season. So, I mean, anytime you can go through, you know, whatever, 17 games with Cleveland, and then I forget how many games we played with Chicago in the 20s, you know, 23, 24 in the playoffs, and it's a grueling year, and then you go through that. I think it just makes you tighter, and I think it makes you better friends. You spend a lot of time with each other because you're always, you know, on the road with each other, or you're playing a game that day and you're going to war together. So I think it just makes you stronger friends and stronger teammates, and, you know, the longer run you have, the tighter you are, and you just become even better friends, like I said. So you just keep in touch any way you can.
I know someone you are pretty close with is Brett Sutter. Yeah. And we talked to you before the games against Calgary. Now you've played him a lot at this point. I mean, what's it been like going up against him and kind of trying to, you know, I'm sure keep it serious, but, you know, you guys are still friends.
Yeah, I mean, it's not been great because they've had our number pretty good there. But yeah, Satsi, I mean, you guys know him. He's the best. And it is weird, especially that first time seeing him in a different jersey. But I'm just grateful I had a year with him and get to learn from him and get to meet him and his family. And he's just the best dude, right? So, yeah, it's fun to see him and not to compete against him, but because, you know, you love him so much. But yeah, he's the best. It's kind of weird seeing him out there. And obviously, they have a great team. So, you know, hopefully we'll see him down the road.
Yeah, I remember earlier this year, obviously, like right before opening night when you were named, you know, team captain of the Reign. And when we had talked with you, you talked about Brett Sutter and the role that he had. Now that, you know, you're wearing the C and you're leading the team, has there been anything that you've learned directly from Suts that you've applied to this season?
I don't think anything specific, you know, directly from him, but just getting to watch him every day and the way he goes about his business and the way he interacts with everyone, the younger guys, the staff, the older guys, his line mates, and just the way he leads. I just tried to, you know, I'm never going to be him. We're not, you know, I'm not going to be the same leader or person or player. We're different people, right? So I'm not going to do anything like exactly the same, but you can definitely take little things that he did and try to implement them in the way you do your thing every day. So, like I said, he's the best. He's the best guy, the best captain. So, and we obviously miss him, but I'm glad to see him having success in Calgary.
We'll let you get the rest of your day going in a minute, but last one for me, at least. You know, this is a time of year, and it's kind of come up recently with a few different players. You've got some guys who are coming from international game, maybe a Sammy Hellenius, Martin Kromiak. They haven't played a full pro season, and you've got a guy like Taylor Ward coming out of college. I mean, those guys are big pieces in your lineup. They play every night. But, you know, this is going to be a grind in the second half. As someone who played in college, who had that type of schedule and had to get used to the pro schedule, any tips you have for those guys, anything that's important for them that now they hit this stretch run and they've never really been this deep in a season before?
Yeah. I mean, for me, it's just enjoy every day. I mean, like, you can watch our practice. We have a good time out there. And I think it's just don't let it, you know, our schedule's been pretty tough in January, but I think that's some of our best hockey we played, which is a good sign. And I'm sure they'll hit a wall mentally or maybe physically, like every younger guy does. I did too. But I think if they just enjoy it and just keep getting better each day and enjoy your teammates, enjoy the game you love. I mean, you're doing this for a reason. You get to play hockey for a living, which is you should be grateful and fortunate, but you got yourself here for a reason, and just keep remembering those reasons and keep getting better each day. And I think they've been great. I mean, I think they've been only getting better, which is a great sign.
I've got one more for you. We usually like to try to end on something a little fun, something a little airy, but maybe this is unfair of me to ask with these busy next couple of days or maybe week that you're going to have, but next off day that rolls around, what are you going to do? What do you like to do on your off days out here?
Well, we just golfed, so that we usually try to golf when we can. But yeah, off days, we usually try to golf, or depending on the schedule, if we have a game the next day or something, you just kind of chill out and relax and maybe go for a walk in the sun or something like that. But yeah, we got a good contingent of golfers on our team that like to go when we can. So definitely that would be the answer.
I guess we have one more.
Okay.
I mean,
you can do it.
We've been asking everybody probably for, I don't know, it's over a year.
Over
now.
A year now.
When you go to the beach, do you sit in a chair or do you sit on a towel when you, if you're going to hang out at the beach, if you're going to have a day at the beach?
I think it's like a little of both. I don't know if, I'm trying to think. I've done both, I think. I don't think it's one or the other.
I think this is the first person we've had.
Yeah. What do they always say, chair?
They always say chair.
Well, not everyone.
Most of the time.
Most guys say chair. We've had a couple towels. We've not had any of both. So yeah.
Well, with our group, you bring a chair and then you go in the water for a second. You come out and someone else is sitting there, obviously. So like, you never know who's going to be sitting there.
Because they all want to sit in the chair.
See, it frustrates me because I'm from here and I hate sand, but I always end up with just the towel and I never bring a chair. So anytime somebody, like half the Canadian guys we have come to me like, oh yeah, I always go chair.
I prefer a chair, I guess. Yeah. But like sometimes when we got, you know, a bunch of guys just kind of switch off.
Yeah. There you go.
Equal opportunity. He's okay with either.
There you go.
Well, DJ, we appreciate a few minutes of your time. We wish you the best of luck this weekend and at the All-Star game. We're looking forward to watching you.
Awesome. Thanks, guys. Thanks for having me.